know him from headlines. You know him because he's Sportsnet's senior NHL insider and writer here. Chris Johnson joins us now. You watch Star Wars? You see the new one?
No, man. You always ask me about movies, and I keep telling the same story.
Oh, yeah,
it's been 3 years since I've seen any movie.
Yeah,
so
that's
I'm not good at the pop culture.
He's not a good listener. He's a talker.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not a great listener. It's very, very true. I'm just always waiting for my turn to talk. Although it's kind of worked out because I'm here. Right? Nah?
Yeah, I mean, you've made it to this point. I mean, we'll see when Ben comes back from vacation. But
yeah. Oh, but by the way, guys got to take a vacation after getting 2 weeks over Christmas, right? Like, you just he came in for 4 days and it was like, yep, nope, too much. This is too hard.
Sounded like my New York Rangers team in the early 2000s.
Yeah, Ben wasn't ready to put in the workload just quite yet. Do you think people in Columbus are pissed that they let William Karlsson go to protect a backup goaltender that they don't even play on back-to-backs?
Possibly. Yeah. I mean, look, I think that William Karlsson, I don't want to take away anything he's doing, but he's just having one of these crazy seasons where, you know, one out of every four shots he takes are going in, and you know, he's never done this anywhere. I think that that's what stands out about him. He played in the Swedish second division. He played in the top division. He played in the AHL, and he's never scored 20 goals anywhere. And he's, you know, at 22 now, I believe, just past the midway point of this season in the NHL. So, I mean, he's certainly getting to play a role in Vegas he never had received as a member of the Blue Jackets, but this came out of nowhere. So I do think there's some level of understanding, you know, about how that played out. But, you know, knowing what we know today, I'm not sure that the Blue Jackets would make that trade because, you know, they still feel that they need to add a little bit at center. And, you know, maybe they had the guy they needed right under their nose.
CJ, what'd you make of the loss last night? Obviously falling apart in the last 5 minutes of the game is never anything that you want as a coach or in an organization. But I think a couple of years ago, we would have been jumping down their throats. We look at that game, and we've talked about it all day, is there was a lot of positives that came out of that third period. The way that they played, a couple of mistakes ended up in the back of their net. But all in all, they played a pretty darn good hockey game last night.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those reminders about how weird the sport can be at times because, you know, there's not really a lot to criticize the Leafs about in that game. I mean, not to say they were perfect, and, you know, certainly there was some errors in judgment. You know, Morgan Riley trying that stretch pass, you know, late in the game, and then while his teammates were changing, and, you know, on the ensuing rush, you know, Columbus was able to tie it. But, I mean, all in all, the Leafs were pretty dominant. They kept their foot down on the gas when they were ahead 2-0. You know, they held Columbus to one shot in the third period, you know, with that lead, you know, for 15 minutes. Unfortunately, the second shot hit Freddie Anderson and then hit Nick Foligno and bounced up in the air and went in. And from there, they ended up losing the game. But, you know, they played probably one of the better games they played in the last few weeks, you know, all things considered with the number of scoring chances they created. And, you know, if they play like that, they're going to win a lot more than they lose. And, you know, my sense being around Mike Babcock is, well, he's kind of the same. I mean, on one hand, you kind of want to pull your hair out when you blow a game in that manner. But I think at this point in the season, the coach is taking a pretty big picture view and seeing a lot more of the positives that happen than the negative outcome.
Yeah, and I think one of the other big picture views is that last season, the big story was, can this team protect leads? Can they win in a shootout, and can they protect a lead in the third period? And it feels like now they can protect those leads. Now they can win in a shootout. Those things have shifted. That's been an area of growth for this team. Like, it didn't even register with me that was a problem last year until it happened. I was like, oh, right, this was an issue, because I haven't felt like the team's been jittery protecting those leads all season. I asked this to Gord Stellick earlier, but do you think that has more to do with Freddie Anderson playing more consistently, or that the team just looks more comfortable playing with a lead?
I see both. I mean, Freddie was pretty good last year, absent the first month, just as this season's played out. You know, I think he's taken a step, though. That being said, has Freddie Anderson. I mean, he's right up there among, you know, top five or six, seven starters in save percentage this year so far. You know, I think that he is, he's faced a lot of rubber, the most amount of shots in the league to this point. He's played the most minutes, and, you know, he is putting up his best numbers as an NHL starter. So, I mean, that's all very encouraging for the Leafs. But I think that there's a different situational awareness for this team. You know, they're still finding the balance, I think, in some ways, between when to push for their offense, because they have so many skilled players and you know, really three out of their four lines are a threat to score at any time they're on the ice at even strength. But, you know, they don't push for those. I don't think they're taking risks, I guess, when you see in a game like last night. it was a weird goal, the first goal that Columbus got. But if you look at how they played that third period and go back and watch, I mean, they had three or four grade A chances to make it 3-0, which probably would have secured that victory. You know, I do think that they've grown a little bit more comfortable in these situations. And look, they believe they're a good team. And you know, I think some of last year was just getting to that spot where they really believed they were good enough to win on a nightly basis in this league. I mean, now when they beat anybody, I don't think anyone's too surprised. Whereas last year, it felt like a miracle if they went and beat a team like Chicago or, you know, one of the established powers in the league. I mean, the Leafs have grown by leaps and bounds. They're getting more out of Auston Matthews production-wise this year than last, which is saying something. And they've added Patrick Marleau. There's still some questions on the blue line, but I mean, this team has grown in all areas, and I think Freddie Anderson falls under that category as well.
Mike Babcock, CJ, talks about the process a lot, and I think the part of the process, and I think you said it very well there, is that they aren't surprised when they win a lot of these games against very good hockey teams. Columbus is a very good hockey team. I thought for most of the game they outplayed them. I've never seen Columbus or a John Tortorella team really give up that many outnumbered attacks and been dominated in their own zone for periods of time as Toronto did. Is some of it the expect, like when I look at a good team, good teams expect to win. Average team and below average teams hope to win. This team expects to win every single time they go out there now.
They do, and you know what's funny, Matthew, is so much of the discussion, and I think it's fair discussion, is about how they're maybe not playing up to our expectations, but you know they're still on a pace for 98 points right now. They had a very tough schedule in December, so I think that it's somewhat easy to explain why they basically played that month at 500, but they're kind of just made winning their business a little bit at this point, and you know that's a positive step, because you know really the playoffs at this stage are not in question. I mean, something crazy could happen, I guess. A team from behind might win 20 in a row or something, as we saw Ottawa do a number of years ago with the Hamburglar. I mean, it's going to take something pretty incredible either from you know, one of the teams chasing. Let's face it, no one's really chasing in the Atlantic Division. It's bottom heavy after the top three, which the Leafs are a part of. And Toronto just keeps picking up points even when they don't play that well. They've still won games. You know, they managed to bring one out of the fryer on Saturday and beat Vancouver down 2-0 with 11 minutes to play in the third, you know, on a night where they didn't play their best against a team they should beat. They still found a way to get the points. And, you know, I think that there has been growth in that way. And, you know, probably the biggest challenge now that I'm sensing is for the coaching staff to try to squeeze as much as they can out of these guys. I mean, it's a long season and, you know, their break's coming up after the game tomorrow. You know, I think there's not really external pressure. You know, there's no one coming up behind. It doesn't feel as though every game is must win. So, you know, the challenge probably for this stretch of schedule is just to get some urgency in their game. And I think that can be tough to do. But, you know, Mike Babcock doesn't have any relaxing days, you know, when he's on the job. And, you know, we still see him pushing buttons and taking guys in and out of the lineup and trying to, you know, create internal competition, if nothing else, to allow them to keep compiling points.
Well, that's the big one today, right? The in and out of the lineup and pushing competition. And Dermott so far over two games has been quite solid. And I think that when you were mentioning earlier about managing expectations or that they've been a little bit below expectation, a lot of that probably has to do with, especially lately, what the team has on the blue line. And here comes this guy up from the AHL who, you know, is supposed to be part of the core moving forward and a piece that they're going to depend on. He has two solid games, led the team in Corsi last night, made a bunch of calm plays. Matthew and I have been talking about him all day, essentially saying how impressed we've been. And again, it is a small sample size, even though we said we weren't going to say that
there
anymore.
There it is.
But do you think that he skated as an alternate today at practice. Do you think that because of that competition that it's more likely than not he's out of the lineup the next game?
Well, it's a tough one to read. You know, there was nothing in his game that would suggest to me he should come out of the lineup. But, you know, the fact he was out of there today, how do you read that? It's a strange situation. I mean, Mike Babcock didn't commit to his lineup until tomorrow, and he did have him out of the lineup, you know, prior to his debut on the practice on Friday. He was skating as an extra, so it's possible he's in, but... Now, this has been a weird one. I mean, he started on the third pairing on the left side, his natural side. They moved him to the right side, you know, for a lot of the game last night, playing with Jake Gardner for stretches. And you know, now he might be out. I mean, it maybe feels a little bit like a rotation between Andreas Borgman, Connor Carrick, and Travis Dermott. I mean, it's tough to to read what's happening here. But certainly, I think if we step back from the here and now and whether he plays tomorrow, as the Leafs have a player in Travis Dermott, I think people should be excited about. I mean, he just turned 21. To me, those are two pretty good first games to start your NHL career. You know, getting thrown in midseason and then, you know, keeping it relatively simple. We did see him go on a couple of rushes and show a bit of what he can do offensively because he's, you know, he's such a strong skater, and I think he does a good job of distributing the puck and you know, helping the Leafs on a breakout or sustain pressure in the offensive zone. And that's, you know, reflected in the Corsi number you referenced for last night. But, you know, in the big picture, this is definitely a core of their team. But, you know, I'm not sure how long he's going to stick around for. I mean, Nikita Zaitsev, you know, I'm expecting back, you know, roughly 2 weeks from now. So there's still a bit of time, although 5 days of that are eaten up by the break that comes after the game against Ottawa tomorrow. So, you know, we might see Travis Dermott sent back is kind of the feeling I get. But, you know, I don't think it'll be for too long because if he can continue to play and handle more assignments and more minutes the way he started these first two games, I mean, he looks to me to be a player that is going to be an NHL regular pretty shortly.
In a perfect world, Babs likes the three lefties and three righties on his defensive pair. I get it. It's easier to play your strong side. But does, as someone that follows the trade deadline as close as you do, and, you know, no stones unturned, as these guys get inch closer and he is able to play a few more minutes, would this maybe change their outlook on the trade deadline if he's a guy that could play maybe bigger minutes than they pretty well assume that he might be able to at this time of the year?
Well, I think especially if you can do it on the right side, because it gives them more options there. And then, you know, if you anticipate Nikita Zaitsev back and you know, they have Roman Polak as a right-hand shot, they have Ron Hainsey currently playing on the right side. I mean, look, I mean, there's clearly a need in a perfect world to have, you know, a top pairing or even second pairing, you know, unquestioned right shot for this team moving forward. I mean, that would be the perfect world. I mean, if Drew Doughty hits the market, you know, the Leafs would be crazy not to be all in on trying to sign him. Of course, you know, 29 other teams would be doing the same thing. But, you know, in terms of organizational needs, it's there in the big picture. I just don't think it's reasonable to expect them to solve that at the deadline. You know, those type of trades don't happen unless you're moving out a William Nylander or one of the other players that, you know, I think all things considered, Leaf fans and Leafs management wouldn't want to part with at this early stage of their promising careers. So, you know, I think that Travis Dermott showing he can play some minutes is a boost for what they're going to be thinking here in the next 6 weeks, because, you know, it does give them that option. They'd love to get a right-hand shot. And you know, Mike Babcock joked yesterday, if Dermott was a right-hand shot, he would have been here all year. I mean, you can sense the feel, the need for that type of player. But, you know, in the short term, he's someone that is looking like he can play for them, which, you know, is a benefit, because it's always a question mark when you bring someone up who's, you know, only in the second season of professional hockey, who's dealt with some injuries down with the Marlies this year. And you know, I do think he can maybe take away some of the urgency to make a deal at this point. I would see them likely give up a second-round pick or some futures. And, you know, in the meantime, we wait for them to either turn Timothy Liljegren into the kind of guy that can, you know, play big minutes on the right side or maybe make a bigger trade at some point in the future.
Well, I guess some fans are asking today, with that need at right-hand shot, that why wouldn't this team take a look at Cody Franzen? And you pointed out on Twitter that he has more value now after clearing. But do you think that the Leafs might take a peek or might be interested in at least seeing what he can provide them?
Well, I mean, the issue the Leafs had is that they have 50 contracts right now, so they can't add another contract. You know, they were in a position where they actually aren't allowed to claim him today. They could make a trade now, though, because, you know, and ship out one of the contracts they do have. And you know, I don't have any specific knowledge of whether they would, but to me, it would seem like a low-risk gamble if you can, you know, acquire Cody Franzen, and, you know, maybe for someone like Martin Marincin, you know, one of the depth players they already have, you know, making similar money in the AHL. Because if you were to trade for Cody at this point, he can be moved up and down for a period of 30 days from the AHL to the NHL without needing waivers. He's only earning $1 million. He does, at very minimum, give you a bit more depth on the right side. And you know, his underlying numbers are great. I mean, I think that, you know, one issue that's dogged him really for years is his skating is not up to what most people expect at the NHL level now, especially with, know, how fast and how skilled so many of the young kids coming in the league are. But he continues to put up positive possession numbers and showed that he can help out a bit on a power play. And to me, he's a low-risk gamble for any team, you know, assuming that they can part with something they want to get rid of to get him. I can't imagine the acquisition cost would be too high, and there's very little downside to acquiring someone like that, because his entire contract while he's in the minors doesn't even count on your cap, which for a team like the Leafs where money, the actual budget, isn't as big of an issue. I mean, it would literally be a no-risk acquisition for them at this point.
I know a lot of fans look at first-rounders and think that they should all be stars and top six guys, but I look at Freddie Gauthier, I look at his game last night, I look at the fourth line in general yesterday, and loved what they brought to the table. A lot of in-zone play, a lot of protecting pucks, and I thought Gauthier really was the guy driving that line yesterday. Is that what we could come to expect and should come to expect from him every night?
Well, he's going to get the chance. I mean, the biggest thing Freddie Gauthier has going for him, other than, you know, his physical size, he's 6'5", and the way he can play, is that Mike Babcock's a fan of him. And you know, it's clear that the coach is going to give him the opportunity to play, which, you know, as we all know in a sport like hockey, is important. And, you know, if he can keep having games like they had last night, where he's able to make a positive impact on the game, and you're right, they got to even generate a few pretty good looks offensively, and held him defensively. I mean, there's no reason to think he'll be taken from the lineup. And, you know, it's kind of been an interesting development. The fourth line center doesn't get much focus, but, you know, I didn't see much of a need to remove Dominic Moore from the lineup. But, you know, clearly Mike Babcock likes having a bigger guy down the middle that you know, can maybe lean on other centermen, win some draws for you, kill penalties, which is still an area where they've sort of had interesting use of personnel with Ron Hainsey logging all those minutes on the blue line, and not a ton of forwards that they're comfortable throwing out there, killing those penalties. You know, there's a pretty uneven distribution of minutes there. You know, Frederick Gauthier fills a need for the team, and as long as they're not spending the whole night chasing the other fourth line around their own zone, and, you know, I think that he will stay in the lineup, and he'll be an NHLer for this team.
Hey, CJ, thanks for doing this, man. If you get some time this afternoon, maybe you treat yourself to a little movie, a little binge-watch TV show. Like
Star Wars.
Oh, man, I got a list today. I got some laundry to get done, so I don't like the movies in the offing.
That's the whole thing. You can fold the laundry and watch something on TV. Like, it's okay. You can do that multitask. It's not too tough.
But I'm going to listen to the rest of the good show and probably listen to the podcast before I know what the movie time will have expired.
That's true. Hey, buddy, thanks again for coming on today.
Thanks, CJ.
All right, boys.
Our next guest is an NHL Network analyst. He's also the color analyst, the Arizona Coyotes, Tyson Nash, who, by the way, let's just start this, get this out of the way. You got a little bit of a beef.
Tyson, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. I hope you don't have a beef. I've been seeing all those Twitter pictures of you working out, the sleeves are cut off.
Funny because I was gonna ask you, like, JR is catching rattlesnakes, and all I see is you getting more handsome with a more beautiful tan and Orange Theory on the road. I knew you were coming back with the gym selfies, so I had to tread water there. So no catching rattlesnakes down in Arizona for you?
Oh, are you kidding me? I got skin like a rattlesnake. I can tell you that with all the sun that I've gotten in the last 10 years down there. But no rattlesnakes for this guy. You saw my hands. Can you imagine if I tried to catch one of those things?
Yeah, Matt posting the gym selfies is a little bit much. Trying to thirst trap the soccer moms these days.
You know what I'm trying to do?
Yeah.
I'm actually trying to motivate myself into not looking so fat every morning.
Yeah, sure.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. No, I get it. I know what your game is, friend. So you got a good look at this Leafs team standalone game last night. We've been spending a lot of the show today gushing about Travis Dermott. But let's hear from a guy who doesn't watch this team night in, night out, that maybe... Like, are we making as big of a deal about this guy? Are we making too big of a deal about Travis Dermott? What did you think of his game last night?
Well, you know, obviously they're an unreal team with so much depth. You know, the guy that really stands out to me is obviously the goaltending. You know, Frederik Andersen has been unbelievable this year for the Leafs. I think you need that goaltending no matter who you're with, whether it's the Penguins or it's a young hockey team like the Toronto Maple Leafs. You need that support. You need that wall and a chance to win each and every night. You know, there's just they're a fun team to watch. They're well coached. So many you know, different weapons up front. You don't know who to cheer for. You know, so It's been a breath of fresh air. I think every young team too in the National Hockey League. I know I'm with the Arizona Coyotes, and you know that's a model in Toronto that you're trying to emulate. That's what the Coyotes want to be like. That's, you know, the goaltending they want. That's the young, you know, strides that you've seen these young kids make. That's what we want to see. You know, that organization take that step forward. So. The Leafs are definitely a team that I think a lot of teams are paying attention to.
You are from Arizona. You live there now. You're not from there, but you are. You make that your home now, and you get to see what Austin Matthews, the best player for the Toronto Maple Leafs, has done for this organization. When you look at him, where do you fit him in his centers around the National Hockey League?
Well, I put him up there in the top. I can tell you that. I mean, he scored 40 goals last year. That's and that doesn't happen by accident. You look where he's at right now. I think he's got 19. So he's he's missed 10 games as well. So and he's just going to heat up. He's a big game player. You love those type of guys. I definitely put him up there in the top five or six in my book. And he's only going to get better. That's the thing. And I have the luxury of knowing him. A little bit. I know his personality. I know his character. So I have that advantage to know that that this kid is a superstar. How he trains, and just how hungry he is. And you know, Barney, all these stars, they have another gear. They have that intangible that, you know, a lot of guys just don't have. Whether you're playing chess, whether you're playing bocce ball in the backyard, they want to win and they want to beat you. And they'll do whatever it takes to win, whatever it is. It's like Crosby, you know, he has that. You tell him, you know what, he's never going to get 50 goals. Well, he's going to work as hard as he has to make sure he gets 50 goals. Well, he's never going to be a number one centerman to win faceoffs. He's not reliable in his own zone. Well, he'll work on that and he'll get that done. And that's what you've seen with Crosby, and that's what you're going to see with Matthews.
I have two gears, neutral and reverse. Those are my two gears.
Hey, it's getting closer and closer to deadline season, and now we're starting to see trade rumors pick up, and the Coyotes are back in the mix when it comes to who are they going to sell and who are they going to move off of. And I guess the number one guy is Anthony Duclair. And I guess, do you think that a fresh start is really going to benefit this player?
Well, you know, I think the worst thing that ever could have happened to Duclair was that he scored 20 goals his first year. This guy is a talented kid. He's got a lot of tools, but I think that he just thought it was going to be that easy year after year. And, you know, for whatever reason, he's gotten away from his game. He's very inconsistent in how he plays. Now all of a sudden with all these trade rumor talks, he's caught fire again. It's lit a fire underneath him. And Rick Tocchet, I mean, he doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care, you know, where you were drafted, how you were brought in here, what the situation is. He just cares about winning, and whoever is going to help him win, is going to play and is going to get ice time, and it isn't going to be a healthy scratch every night. So if Duclair continues to play the way that he has in the last, you know, two or three games, well, he's going to see a ton of ice time. He's going to be back up to that 20 minutes a night. He's going to see first line power play. That's what it's all about. I mean, coaches don't dictate ice time. Players do. I truly believe that. And that's how Rick Tocchet sees Duclair. So hopefully there can be maybe even some resolve here. Maybe they can rebuild this relationship, and then obviously Duclair would love to stay.
Yeah, it seems weird that Arizona would be moving off of young players with promise, but we'll have to see how things shake out. Hey, Tyson, thanks for joining us today, man, and putting up with it.
All right, thanks, boys.
Thanks, Tyson.
Good seeing you on there, Barney.